Blog Talk Radio.
I'll do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me.
Well, welcome to today's episode of Relationship Marketing 101. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, and I have with me today both my co-hosts, Jennifer Carter, and a guest, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady from profitablestorytelling.com. I'm coming in live today from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do every Tuesday at noon Eastern. So welcome, Rhonda and Jennifer.
Hey!
I know I personally have been so looking forward to this show today. All week long, I've been on pins and needles about it, Rhonda.
I'm excited. I am stoked. I am fired up and ready to go.
Are you ever not fired up and ready to go?
Maybe when I'm asleep or early in the morning.
That's about it. I've known you for years and have never known you to be anything less than enthusiastic. Jennifer, are you there?
I sure am. And, you know, Rhonda, Gina has been talking about you ever since in her mentoring program, ever since I think she started or since I've been a part of it. And it's because you must be amazing, your enthusiasm and your storytelling. And I can't wait for today, not only because Gina says you're cool, but also because as a speaker, I know that stories are the heart and soul of really moving people to feel what it is you want them to feel in order to do, and for them to then do what it is you want them to do. And I hear that you're a master at storytelling. So it's really cool.
She really is. And I really can't do Rhonda justice myself, so I'm just going to let her introduce herself.
All right.
Well, I'll tell you, I started to become the story lady when I didn't even know it as a kid. Without anyone encouraging me or making me do it or whatever, I would make up stories and skits with my toys as a toddler, make up little plays and everything. And then all of my life, people will tell me anything. I mean, I will have strangers come up to me off the street and tell me their story, tell me something. So I feel kind of the joke of I have a sign on my head that says, tell me your story. But I think I make this safe space where people feel okay, and it's become part of my own medicine or part of my own power to empower people just like you to stand in your power and to share your story all over the place so that you can do the work that you are uniquely designed and intended to do here on this earth. And my website is profitablestorytelling.com. I have that's a blog site, all kinds of terrific resources there for you.
And you know, you really are somebody who is easy to talk to. But you've done so many unique things, including Molly, your guide dog, even authoring her own book. I mean, you've just got so much experience in dealing with stories from an author's perspective, from a storyteller's perspective. So how do you use stories personally, Rhonda?
How I use them personally is that we have to understand and realize we are growing relationships. Online, offline, everything we do and everything that I teach my authors who come to me for their book launches and everything else is, look, you have to build relationships. How else do you build relationships but by sharing stories? You don't build relationships by barfing out your links, blah, go here, blah, check out my stuff, blah, all over the place. You build relationships by sharing stories. And stories are so powerful because of how they go past our sensors and past our, you know, our skepticism, because we get engaged in that story. So if I can tell you a cool story about something that somebody did, or, you know, a story of somebody who started off with a big problem and solved it, you're automatically engaged by the fact that there's a story involved. And it's not just, go check out my cool stuff right now with this link. Mm-hmm. That is a great
exactly.
And as you can tell, I do like a little bit of drama.
You do like a little drama.
No, really? I couldn't tell.
I know, I'm so deadpan, right?
Well, you know, if you look at one of my early blogs, askggg.com/blog, and you look prior to March of 2007 and then after March of 2007, one of the distinct differences between those two time periods is the stories. Prior to March 2007, I didn't tell stories. After March 2007, I did. And what a huge difference in results overall just by incorporating those stories.
Right.
For me, telling stories was something that did not come easily at all. I'm trained as an attorney, right? So I'm trained to tell the facts and only the facts in kind of a not so much of a cold way, but in more of a mechanical way, in a way that really gets the facts out there so that the jury can see what I want them to see. Yeah, you'd say that's a story, but it's really not. It's very different than just telling stories.
Yeah, the intent is different.
Yes. And so when it came time to start telling stories in my blogging, in my emails from the stage, it was a major challenge for me. What finally helped me was having a husband who is a master storyteller. Oh, my goodness. This is a guy that can take a two-minute story and turn it into a two-hour story and have people sitting on the edge of their seat for the entire 2 hours.
Awesome. That is so great.
So what Bill did was he made me every night at dinner sit across the table from him and tell him a story. And every night we could not get up from that table until I could tell my entire story and either make him cry, make him laugh. There was some emotion that I had to make him take or show before I was allowed to get up from the dinner table. And it took practice to do that. What do you suggest for people like me getting started telling stories that are really struggling with it?
Well, I will tell you that, first of all, the thing that you want to do, what I find that people get uptight about the story itself, and they go, well, what if I don't tell it right, or if I have all the right elements, or whatever?
Yes.
I'm going to say for a moment to lay all that aside. Now, I'm not suggesting that you just start rambling and blah, 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 because then that's when you get the eye rollers and people going, mm-hmm, and wandering off to, oh, let me go get a drink from the kitchen. Yeah, yeah, you only need it. But when you focus on the people that you're with or the person or whatever, then you cannot go wrong because you're going to focus on them and you're going to have the intent and the thought in your mind that with this story, what I want to do is emotionally touch this person on a deep level or these people on a deep level. When
okay.
you focus off of the mechanics of, oh, my God, I never told a story. What if I don't do it right? Blah, blah, blah. And you get all in that worry headspace. It doesn't matter who you are. You're not going to tell a compelling story. What sets the way that I teach people storytelling apart from a lot of what I've seen is that true essence of the emotional connection. That is what binds people. That is what builds relationships with people.
Gotcha. So,
and for example, I'll give you a really very easy to understand example. What I teach people, if you're, let's just say we're going to write an email to your subscribers. First of all, I don't call them my list, except if I have to say that so that people know what I'm talking about. I call them my community, my people, whatever. When I'm writing to, quote-unquote, my list and my people, I imagine that I'm writing to one person because I am.
Well, you know, I actually have my students go one step further than that. You know the way you'd write a character study if you were writing a novel, for example?
Right. Yes.
I have my students actually create a character study for their one ideal prospect.
You know, I
whether
do that
that's
too.
A man or a woman, they need to create it right down to the name and even go out and find a picture that represents that person that they can
mm-hmm.
pin to their computer. So when
mm-hmm.
they're writing, they're not writing to their audience or their prospects. They're writing to that one person.
Exactly. I actually taught that on a call to my authors last week, and I said, and furthermore, you have this picture from, I don't care if it's from a magazine or somebody you know who represents that ideal, and you have it there, and you imagine that you're sitting by having a coffee with them or whatever, kicking back, and you're saying, listen, my friend, I've got something really cool for you, and you're going to share from that perspective. And when you think of it as sharing and serving and not selling, oh, give them this product and make them want to click the link and buy it, but when you go into the
I'm serving you. I'm sharing something valuable because I want you to have all the good things in life. And you have this particular person in mind, it makes a huge difference. Most people, even though they kind of know that it's going out to one person at a time, they kind of go, well, when you guys, blah, 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 are they right?
Yes. Oh, doesn't that just, it's like nails on a chalkboard.
Or what some of you may, blah, and I go, blah. I'm already just over it. I just can't, I'm like, ugh, yes. It's like
same
a screaming
thing
problem.
For me. Can't stand it. Okay,
yeah.
So keep going. Sorry to have interrupted.
No, it's not fine. It's fine. It's not a problem. So, you know, that's the whole idea. When you think about storytelling is if you start whatever it is you're doing, whether it's writing an email, whether it's speaking in front of a group, or whether it's writing a blog post, you still want to say, look, I'm writing to one person who I care about. That helps you get the emotional connection. I'm writing to a person that I care about because I want them to succeed in whatever your niche happens to be, and whatever it is that you're doing. And you're focusing on the relationship, on the emotional connection. And I had I was on a call one time with Mike Littman, and he had said to me, you have 14 seconds, tell me what the benefit of working with you is. And without missing a beat, I said, I teach people to emotionally connect with people through the power of your story. Ding, 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 ding. You have won the prize. Because he said, I spent over $100,000 trying to figure out how to tell my story. And what I finally came to understand was what you just said in that one sentence.
And that is so true. I mean, it's more than just one kind of story, right?
Right.
Every one of us as marketers needs to have the story of you. And just your story, but term it as the story of you, to me, is different, right?
Yeah.
And that story of you becomes the basis of everything else you do. Now, you want a lot of other kinds of stories, too, but that's your core story that you're
right.
going to tell everywhere. As many
right.
places as you can find, the story of you goes out, whether we're talking about doing it in writing, doing it in audio, even announcing yourself on the air, you told the story of you as we started the show.
Exactly.
Whether that's in video. You go out to put something in YouTube, you want the story of you to come across in it. On your blog, in your emails, there's so many different places that you're going to use the story of you. And okay. then introduce other stories alongside the story of you.
Right. There are going to be a lot of stories that you tell. You do want to have a core story. The elements of the story of you is basically what I call the great storytelling formula. The great storytelling formula is actually what the noted mythologist Joseph Campbell discovered as he studied the mythic traditions and spiritual traditions of the entire world. And he found there was one core story that was true for everybody, even if not only like the Western cultures and China and Japan and all over Africa, but even cultures that had no contact with what we loosely call civilization, there was this pattern.
Did you see anything?
The pattern was the hero's journey. The hero's journey is your core story. The hero's journey is about how you came to be what you are. It's generally about how you have started off and on some kind of a quest, and often it wasn't the quest that you chose. Like and I said, I unknowingly started the path to becoming the story lady as a child when I started to make up stories and skits with my toys. At the time, I was a toddler. I didn't have anyone teach this to me or make me do it. It was something that came naturally. And as I grew, I found that people would come up to me and tell me anything in the safe space that I innately gave for them to be who they are and to tell their story. That shows you that part of my core story. I didn't choose this quest. I didn't go, I have to quest for the medicine because the children of the village are dying. Mine was a quest given to me that I had no control over. And often that's the case. That hero's journey starts with some kind of a quest, and it has testing involved with it. In your little blurb quickie story, you may not have all of the testing. Some of you will, some of you won't. One of my tests is being a person who is mostly blind, and through the test of coping with blindness and with people not believing that I could do anything, I developed a great power in my belief in myself. So, and that's how you can express your test. Okay? And then there is always some kind of that resolution where now you have this power and this ability, and you have to share it with the rest of the world, because to keep it to yourself, there's this feeling in you that it would be innately wrong to do that.
Right.
And that is part of your core story, is then the fact that you're sharing it and saying, whatever my particular power and skill and so forth is in my business that I'm sharing all over the place, I have to share it. It's almost a compulsion that if you don't share this, you're not being true to who you are. Does that make sense, Tina?
That does. So everyone should develop this hero's quest type of story, correct?
That is your core story, and it's based around those three steps. First, a quest, whether you started it or you were given it, and then the test, and then, yes, I found my solution. That's how I express it, because it's really easy to remember. Quest, test, and yes, found the solution. I'll have to share it.
Okay.
And that's your core story in a nutshell.
Gotcha. So for me, it was an attorney who ended up in a hospital bed and wheelchair, needed to make $40,000 a month to cover all of my medical bills. That's my quest. At the same time, got this death sentence from my doctor. That's my test.
Yep.
Managed to overcome it. And in overcoming it, had this huge side effect of my business exploding overnight. And not only did I manage to get well, but with the business exploding, I now have this mission to get this message out to 1 million-plus people so that I can help them learn to live the life of their dreams as well.
Exactly. You were given this death sentence, sent home to die. You chose to live, and through the power of your mindset, just completely rocked your whole life, your business, and everything else in your life. And you cannot help but spread that message, Gina. Do you feel like if somebody said, I'm sorry, you can't spread that message, you'd be, but I'm not done yet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's a compulsion to spread the message. It's like you cannot help but want to spread it because it's so much a part of you. When you are completely tied into your purpose or your point, that's how you are with your mission. Your core story should be that dear to you. It's not just, well, I started selling chocolate because I like to eat candy.
I truly can't remember the last day that went by where I did not share my core story with at least one person. And I really don't remember the last time that happened. Sometimes
right.
It's, I'll give you a couple examples. I was coming out of a hotel in Vegas, sitting down, waiting for the valet to bring me my car. Walked up to this woman. She was dressed really nice. I complimented her on what she looked like. Oh, you really look nice tonight. She starts talking to me before the cars come from the valet. I've already told her my core story, not because I chose to, but because she asked a question that led right into it. Sitting at dinner the other night in a restaurant, somebody asked me a question about my back pillow and why I've got my back pillow, which led me to sharing my whole core story with that person. And every time I tell it, people thank me for sharing my story because it empowers them in such huge ways.
Yes, absolutely it does. And this is why it's so important. This is why storytelling is not a, well, yeah, I guess it would be kind of cool to learn to tell a story, but I don't really need it for my business. To me, without your story, you have no real business. You're, with the story, it shows that you're serving. By sharing your story, you give permission for other people to be who they are and to tell their own story and to stand in their own power. It's a tremendous gift to give a story to somebody. And I mean, when they're engaged and when they're asking you, you know, you want to share because you're trying to answer their question and be of service to them. And in telling the story, you have that gift that you're giving to them.
And it feels so much more natural than when you're out there really trying to sell an audience.
Exactly.
When you're just trying to sell, it's, to me, I have to force it. It does not come naturally to me at all.
Right, but I can tell you a story about how, you know, I wasted a lot of time doing such and such, and I know this person who is a friend of mine, and they made a product, and I tried, and I was so impressed with it. That's very different from, here's my affiliate link. Blech!
Yes, exactly. Now, does everybody have a core story?
Everybody has a core story. you may have to stop and think about what it is. But what you're getting to is the core story is not about the product that you sell. It is about who you are and the way that you are operating in this world. So whatever it is that your business is, any niche that you're in, if it's that you love Barbies or something, then your core story is going to have to do with, I know someone who has a Barbie-related business. She just really loves Barbies. She loves that sense that you can have really awesome things in your life. That's kind of that Barbie represents that being great to her. And she can spread that story and have people who buy her. She does some hand-sewn vintage Barbie costumes and or outfits, whatever they call them. So she can do that and be authentic in telling those stories about how Barbies have touched people's lives and how she likes these different things because she's sharing a story and a love for something.
So in other words, your core story really goes into why you're passionate about something.
Exactly.
Why you chose this business or this niche as opposed to that niche or that business.
Right, and it's not because, well, I heard there was a lot of money in gold coins, so I went into that. It has to be that there's something within you, and you will be so much more successful and tied into your business when that business is tied into your not only your passion, I mean, that's great, your passion, but also your purpose for that sense you have of, you know, my life will be complete if I can accomplish this in my life.
Gotcha. Now, differentiate that core story from the other kinds of stories you're going to tell in your business.
You're going to tell a lot of different kinds of stories, and I actually make these like storytelling templates and make it really easy, just like I did with the core story where I gave you three words, quest, test, and yes. You're going to tell other kinds of stories. And for example, one of the stories is what I call the tattletale story, where it's a template for giving a testimonial. If you're going to talk about how you love a certain product that you're going to sell as an affiliate or you're going to give a testimonial to someone, it's the same idea. That's one type of story. Another one is when you want to create a change in somebody. And I call that a wet story because it talks about, you know, why you're telling the story, the emotion that you want to pull out of people, and the transformation you want them to create in their lives with that story. So there are a lot of different types that you can tell, but the whole idea is that all of it's going to tie into the emotion and the whole idea of serving and the whole idea of you being true to your core, to who you are and what you're all about.
And when I teach blogging, I teach people to use what I call my magic formula for writing a powerful post.
Right.
And that magic formula starts with a question in the title. And that question basically sets the stage for a problem that the reader is going to have. And then it goes on to start the blog post with a story. You can use any one of those different stories depending upon what that problem is.
Mm-hmm.
Then goes on to reiterate the question or the problem. Goes on to give a short bulleted list that is either the solutions or the steps to a solution. Goes
mm-hmm.
on to explain that solution. And then it gives a resource to the reader. That's like your call to action. It's how you get bigger results, better results, or faster results. You can
right.
use any one of those different types of stories depending upon the purpose or intent of that blog post, right?
Absolutely. What I love to do with your six-step formula, a lot of times I will take a conversation that has happened. Maybe it's an email exchange or an actual conversation. Maybe you have an email from one of your subscribers, or maybe it's something that happened on if you do a teaching call or a strategy session or something. And people will come up with a problem that's very representative. But like you could put this in an FAQ with a question and answer, and it would be universal for your niche.
Yes. One of my favorite things to do with it, too, Rhonda, taking
yeah,
those conversations.
Exactly.
And I actually tell them as if they're happening in real time.
Right.
Oh, very powerful.
Yeah, and I even put dialogue in mine. Not that you have to do that, but sometimes I'll put dialogue. If it was a conversation, I will share pieces of dialogue in there sometimes, too. So it reads as if you're reading a story and you're getting caught up in that this is a real problem. And you have to, when you're doing that, especially with your blog formula, you have to remember that you're telling a story about a problem, not just an event. Oh, I met this guy and he told this funny joke. It's not that kind of thing. it's I'm telling a story representing a problem and solution. And I, of course, am the solution to the problem.
You got it. And, boy, that is so powerful because it draws that reader right into the conversation, and they can't help but want the solution because now they've got the problem. They're involved in the problem because they're involved in the story that you're telling them.
And they probably have the problem themselves,
mm-hmm.
or a variation of it. And they start to go, oh, my gosh. I mean, I'll give you an example of a story that I've told in a post recently. Was it had to do with there's one element that I often find is missing when authors try to promote their books. And they have this website, but they don't have any way for people to opt into a list or get involved with them. And they
make me laugh every time I see that, because you see that so often.
Yes, yes, and it makes you gag because they're sending traffic to this static thing, and people go, oh, okay, and people are busy and whatever. So I told that story. Okay, imagine you have this, and you're sending people to it, and they're busy, and they're blah, 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 and, you know, whatever. And then I go and tell how, and you get these kinds of messages and emails all the time, and you're busy. You have a life. You have kids. I use the same exact verbiage in telling that story about the problem. And so they're going, oh, my gosh. That
yes. Everybody's running to check their website going, uh-oh.
Oh, my gosh. And then I give, and I then talk about, you know, an opt-in list and the power of it, and that's all in the solution part. But in pulling people into that story, my lead-in question was, what element must you have on your website? If you don't have this, it's really bad for you. And I tell that story, and people can get sucked into that story and go, oh, my gosh, I have to have a way for this to happen. Otherwise, there's no point in sending traffic to your website.
Absolutely.
Right? And so in telling that story, sometimes pulling in dialogue is fine if you want to. If you don't, you don't have to. But pull in a story and tell what happened. Tell of a conversation that came across or an email that you've received that's like so many other emails that you probably received the same thing 10 times.
Well, one of the conversations that I have out in my blog that's old, it's back from the March-April 2007 from when I did this transition from not telling stories to telling stories, was a conversation that started taking place between me and Henry Gold. Henry Gold had come to me, and he was telling me that I was not going to make any money at all in my business until I could become a snob. And I told it in the first person as if the conversation was taking place, the whole dialogue was laid out, because Henry was basically condemning me to a life of being poor in my business because I wasn't willing to be a snob. And I kept saying, but if I have to be a snob, then count me out. I don't mind being poor. And
right.
Terry Dean got into the conversation. He got into the conversation because I pulled him into the conversation. And this is where you can get a little bit fun with your story.
Right.
So I went out and found a quote on Terry Dean's blog. And I hyperlinked from the word Terry Dean to that blog post and pulled that into this story of, do you have to be a snob or not? Do you have to just tell stories? What is it going to take to be successful? And Terry Dean actually jumps in and comments and really takes part in the dialogue in real time in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the single most effective blog post I've ever written in terms of number of sales and number of results.
Yep.
Hugely powerful.
I can imagine. I mean, That is just so incredibly great.
Anybody can do the same thing. If you want other people to take part in this conversation and they're blogging, all you have to do is take their name and hyperlink it, not to their blog generally, they won't see it, to a specific post within their blog. And it'll show up right in their WordPress dashboard the next time that they log in, and they'll go, I wonder why this person's got my name in there, and why are they linking to me? I better check it out.
And
if your conversation and story are compelling enough, they're going to jump in.
Right, and they'll probably get a Google alert on it, too, and they'll go, if someone's talking about me or mentioning me, you know, if you write in a story, gosh, this is the great type of thing so-and-so would be interested in, and you can pull them in. It doesn't matter. They can be one of the biggest people in the industry.
But take that extra moment, as Gina, I think that's so important. Of you're not just linking generally to the blog, but find a post that's relevant or find a recent post and link over to that. It's so much more powerful than just a general link, and it really doesn't do you any good unless you do that, actually.
Well, my friend Larry Binet has done this after I told him about it. He's done it to meet up with people like Bill Bartman and Robert Kiyosaki and all kinds of big guys out there. People pay attention when they have Google Alerts as well as when they just log into their WordPress blog. They don't even need to have Google Alerts to see that you're talking about them if you're linking to a post on their blog.
Mm-hmm.
And in almost every case I've seen it used, they do come and jump into the story and be part of the dialogue, which is exactly what you want your readers to do through their comments.
Exactly. Yeah, you want people to comment, and you want to pull those in, and telling the stories is powerful. And here's a way that I've often done it to explain why you want to be building relationships all over the net. A lot of people go, well, I have a website. I mean, what more do you need? Website. And I go, okay, and I said this to a specific person. I said, okay, now I want you to imagine that you are one of your ideal customers who is looking for a solution to the problem that you are uniquely suited to solve, and they're going to Google. And let's say they've actually heard about you from something, and they put your name in quotes in a box, because anyone that knows what they're doing knows to do that, on Google, and they come up with two links, one from your website and one from somewhere behind the .com, the About Me page or something. And then that's it, and everything else is irrelevant. The person went, It really hit her because I told her that story. Imagine this is you. Now, that customer could have been served by you, but because you have no standing online, you are nothing because all they see is two irrelevant, or just a couple links, nothing. There's no book on Amazon. There's no blogging. There's no social media. There's nothing. They're going to go, yeah, and then there's all these other people who are doing something similar who I can get free MP3s and read their blog, and they're on Twitter, and they're on here and there, and they're everywhere, and they have all these links all over the place, and I come up with hundreds or thousands of listings. Which would you rather be?
Yeah, big difference, really big difference. And for anybody who's ever tried blogging, you'll probably understand when I say this. If you go out there and tell your readers to comment on your blog, you're going to be blue in the face before you get a comment. Telling your readers to comment is probably the worst thing you can do to cause comments to occur, because they don't happen.
Right.
What gets the comments to occur is drawing your readers into your story. And when they can really identify with your story, even when you don't tell them to leave you a comment, because they feel like they're part of the dialogue, now they're going to come and take part in it. And it's no longer going to be a one-way discussion. It's going to be a two-way discussion. And that's the best thing that can ever happen in any blog, because that's when they're ready to take action.
Right. One of the coolest things you can do when somebody comments is to go ahead, post a comment on your own blog, and thank them, and maybe pull up, gee, you had a good point about such and such, or even if you're with them on a point, but go ahead and remark on the fact that they commented. It's like how when you praise a dog for sitting so beautifully, they're likely to do it again. I mean, it's really the same type of thing. When you're seen actively going, wow, Gina, thanks so much for commenting. I really appreciate how you blah, 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 and, you know, something very specific. It shows them that you're paying attention and that you're appreciating the fact that they bothered to comment and took the time. Then other people are going to want to take the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Does Molly have a blog?
Not so. She has sort of a blog, but her mom is awfully busy and doesn't have that much time to do very much blogging for the dog.
Well, that would be really cute for Molly to have her own blog. You know what you could do?
I'm really
into the whole dog thing right now. My cousin's just opened a restaurant here in Naples, Florida, that is a pet-friendly restaurant. And you can actually bring your dogs to the restaurant with you. They have a pooch-friendly patio and a people-friendly dining room. It's called Fred's Diner at the corner of Immokalee and Airport Pulling, if anybody's from Naples. Anyway, so I'm really into the whole dog thing right now, and we're looking at ways of them JVing with other people that, you know, can really play up the the whole pet-friendly thing, because there aren't many restaurants that are pet-friendly. So one of the things that I'm having them do is to start a blog that's put out by Fred, which is their chihuahua.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually going to get other pet owners to help take part in this and have all of their dogs blogging through Fred's blog.
Oh, how cute.
I cannot wait for this blog to start because I've never seen a blog like this. And I hope Molly will join in on the fun, too, because
Molly will.
Can you imagine how huge that could be?
Because Molly does travel with me as my guide dog. And, you know, an interesting story about Molly is that when I got her from the shelter, I wanted to adopt her, and you had to be interviewed and three references and all this stuff. I almost didn't get her because the adoptions coordinator woman, who should know better, thought that Molly would have a restricted life as a guide dog. Can you imagine?
You are kidding me. Oh, my gosh, that dog gets around more than most people do.
I was going to say, the dog's been all over, and I take great pleasure and glee in putting pictures up on Flickr of Molly in Florida and Molly here and Molly there because it's just like, meh, in your face, you know, thumbing your nose, how look at this poor restricted puppy is kind of our big joke about her. This poor restricted puppy who travels all over with me instead of being at home all the time. Of course, I work from home, so she's with me constantly. But even when I didn't work from home, she was with me all the time.
But I brought this up because I wanted to share that it doesn't matter what niche you're in. You can
right.
always find a way to create unique stories that really pertain to what you're doing, and you can pull other people into the storytelling process, even if they're pets.
And that's
perfect.
It
doesn't have to be you telling all the stories yourself.
That's right. You can let your cat or dogs or your canary or anything tell a story. And I often tell stories about my chickens in little places here and there. They're often really short ones on Twitter and stuff, but you can also very easily make them tell, let them tell a story, and I will be doing that as well. It's also
Absolutely.
A great way to lead up to a book.
Oh, that would be a great way to lead up to a book.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great way. The more that you tell different stories, you lead up to a book. In fact, my new book even is a story.
Instead is it? What is it?
The new book is The Geometry of Success. It is written as a story. It's a parable. This guy named Sam, who's in this dead-end job, just kind of turning into a zombie, basically, the living dead, if you will, and about to, close to losing his wife and wanting a better job, but he doesn't, just can't seem to get anything going until he finds out about this system to get himself on purpose and moving towards something that's good in his life, and things turn around for him in 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness, Rhonda. I can't wait to read it. When's it coming out?
It's coming out through Roberts & Ross Publishing. I don't know exactly, but it'll be this spring. But you can read excerpts on my blog at ProfitableStorytelling.com because I have a couple of chunks out of Chapter 1 up there already.
Oh, I can't wait. I will go do that later today. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure, and I have a Facebook fan page for The Geometry of Success, and you can find various links and so forth there. You can also get a free audio and an action guide at thegeometryofsuccess.com.
Wow. Oh, wow. I got to go check that out. Now, I know Jennifer is fairly new into blogging and
yes.
probably has some questions about storytelling. I'm going to let everybody else, I'm going to unmute Carrie because she's doing the same thing, fairly new in blogging, probably has some questions about storytelling. And for anyone else, if you push 1 on your telephone, I'll see your hand raised and I can unmute you as well. So Carrie and Jennifer, are you guys there?
Beautiful, we sure are. You know, it's been fun sitting back and listening to two very good storytellers. And one of the things that I was really relating with, and I'd love for you maybe even to talk a little more about, Rhonda, is earlier you alluded to when you're telling a story, you're addressing, of course, a problem, and then at the end you have a solution. And, you know, sometimes we'll hear people I think more and more people are getting the idea that you should tell some kind of story. But I think in addition to telling, you know, just any story, the problems that you tell in your story have to be told in a way. Even if it's your personal story about a personal problem you had and then you resolved, it's got to be told in a way where everybody out there or a large portion of your audience can relate to that particular problem. So you've got to make your problem, you've got to frame it in a way that, you know, everybody out there can relate to it. And how do you make a personal challenge that you had more applicable to the general audience, the people you know you're writing to?
Actually, when you focus on the emotional connection with people, you're never going to, okay? Mm-hmm. So the facts of, and some people get caught up in that, and I understand that's a really common question that I get, because they go, well, but, you know, but people don't have the same thing. Like, I had cancer, I had this or that, and not everybody has cancer, and not everybody had, you know, whatever. But if you think about the emotional connection, and what is the real point? What is the emotional gist of the story that you're getting across? So if it's a fact...
And how many people were issued this death sentence by their doctor because they had an incurable infection in their spine that went to their heart, their lungs, and their blood that was going to their brain? Not
right.
Very many.
That's a
you know, you and five other people maybe, you know, or whatever.
Right. It's that, right.
Right. And that's the whole point, is it does the facts of the story, the you know, oh, I had this or that, or I lived in Tulsa, and that part of the story isn't what matters. It's not where you lived or the specifics. I was given this death sentence because I had this infection that did such and so. The point of the story is, and for Gina, it was that you were given this death sentence. You were basically sent home to die, and the things that happened that turned it around for you, that is the point. And the emotional thing is for people that I can be in this dire situation and still turn my life around in a matter of weeks or days.
And I very, very rarely even talk about what was killing me because it's not important. Unless somebody asks me about it, I usually don't even mention it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you don't have to always go through the whole... And I know some people who do this, and it is a little grating. You know, I was diagnosed with cancer 6 years ago, and I went through this and that treatment, and not that I want that experience for somebody, but they focus so much on the details, and they lose people because they're not focusing on the emotional connection. They're focusing on the diary recounting of facts, and that's never where you want your focus. You will connect with anybody. Anybody can relate to being scared. Anybody can relate to being told you can't when you believe that you can and you're fighting it or whatever. Anybody can relate to that stuff. So you focus on the emotional gist of the story, not the facts of the story.
That is a great answer, and I'm really glad you said what you said. You know, earlier when you were talking about the heroes, and, you know, Joseph Campbell talks about that hero of a thousand faces and how you find a hero story in every culture. And I remember talking about that to a group of people on a number of occasions because it was a very personal thing because I think, for a few reasons, number one, everybody goes through challenges in their lives, and number two, at least as children, I think maybe it gets beat out of people by the time they're adults, but I think a lot of children, if you look at them, they like to fantasize being a hero, right? I have young children, and they love playing superhero or, you know, saving from the bad guys or whatever, and I think... And it's because it means that we matter. And as we people grow up, not everybody, but I think people can start to feel less that they matter, less and less and less. However, when we, I think, through our stories, find a way to connect with people and to say, hey, I'm having challenges and you are too, and even though they're not the same challenges, as you said earlier, when you're in a dire circumstance, you can overcome it, then people start to feel connected, including those challenges that are sometimes even self-imposed. Let me explain what I mean. Now, if you're given a death sentence like you were, Gina, that's something that's like an unfair thing from the outside world. You overcame it. That's amazing. And people can relate to being in a bad position, maybe not that dire. However, another maybe more common thing that I think sometimes people can appreciate is I have a friend who wrote a book recently that's coming out about single moms. And she described essentially having a really bad day, needing to come home and still have to, you know, do all these things to care for the kids. And she brought up this feeling of, she used the words, feeling homicidal and needing to fix everything instantly, you know, not having an ounce left of patience or something like that. And the way that she worded it was absolutely hilarious, because every single one of us who are moms or not could relate to being really busy, not being good enough, essentially with the message, and yet still having to, you know, do the right things to care for your child, make dinner, do their homework, et cetera. So it gets back to whatever the problem is, connecting, as you said earlier, Rhonda, to the emotions behind the challenge, whether the fear of a death sentence, the maybe anger and frustration of not being able to do it, be good enough, do it all for your kids, or whatever it is, whatever.
And I want you to keep one more thing in mind, Jennifer. In asking your question, the way that you asked it, you were talking about connecting to your audience. And Rhonda and I had mentioned this earlier on, but remember that you're not trying to connect to a group of people. You're trying to connect with one and only one person within that audience. And I think that'll help you a lot, because the emotions don't need to be the emotions of an entire audience.
No.
It needs to be the emotions of one person within the audience. And there's a huge difference between the two.
There sure is.
You can't emote for a group. But see, look, like, haven't you ever heard a story of maybe somebody who has been, even, okay, I'll give you a dire story and then a funnier one. Someone who has maybe been through something like a rape or abuse. You may have or may not have ever experienced that. Whether you have or not, can't you relate to that story? Don't you see, like, an emotional thing about, you know, even somebody, now here's another example, like, you see a story about somebody who was running a marathon in the Olympics, and they were just about at the end of their rope, and they limped across the finish line, you know, and whatever, that kind of stuff, that they made it through despite the fact that they were injured and they maybe fell right after they did it, but you're still pulled into the story, even though you maybe don't, like, I hate to run. I only run off at the mouth. I have no desire to run a marathon, but I can be really moved when Scott Armstrong says he was running a marathon, and at mile 16, he started to feel really crummy. And he says the wheels were falling off the bus, and he started to go, what are you doing? This is nuts. You're never going to make it. You can't make it even another mile. And then he decided he needed to talk to himself instead of listening to himself. And for the next 10 miles, he spoke affirmations into his life. You can do it. You can make it. You're getting stronger and stronger. You're a winner. And he made it, and he qualified for the Boston Marathon, which was his big dream. I don't want to run. I don't care about a marathon, but I'm really moved by that story.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You are telling it to one person. No one is ever going to tell a story that you can't just go, well, I'm just going to affect the whole world with this story. But if you think about one person, you actually might affect the whole world with your story. But
and it's just a matter of telling one after another after another after another.
Right.
So just keep that in mind and trying to find the right emotion to connect with, because it really does change the challenge, if you will. Carrie, are you there? Miss Carrie, are you with us? So what kind of questions do you, what kind of questions do you have for Miss Rhonda today?
Well, actually, she touched on something that I have been giving some thought lately and wondering how that fits in, but I knew it did, but hearing her talk about your test, the quest and then the test, it really got me thinking, and maybe she can help me to see how I need to apply it, but I realized that I have my quest in my story, but I haven't even really mentioned much about my test, which was developing an autoimmune disease. And so I'm wondering, you know, I guess I have it because my niche is really caregivers and heart failure patients. So I've felt, you know, kind of awkward as to how to fit it into the story, although, like you said, it's not the details, it's the emotion of it. So that, I guess, just does that test fit in? That test fits into your, you know, 15-second story and everything. It's part of
you're dealing with a niche where each individual is tested on a moment-to-moment basis with the care of somebody who is going through this disease. your details of your own personal journey may be different, but don't you imagine that people who are continuously tested can relate to you more if they don't feel like you're a better than thou who just kind of sails through it all?
Yeah. Sure.
And that by not putting in the test, you subconsciously tell people, I'm a better than thou. I don't have any tests. I am perfectly fine. Thank you very much. I need nobody's help. I am just great. You, however...
Huge, Rhonda. That is huge.
You are subconsciously disrespecting these people, and I know that's not your intent, but if you don't, if you're not willing to share your own tests, then you're not willing to be human with your audience, and they will not like you for it. I would much rather say, hey, I've got my first book launch coming up, and I'm a little nervous because I can't get this author to do enough social networking. And I'm trying to help him make a bestseller, and I don't know if he's going to make it because there's only so much I can do without his participation. It's much better off if I say that than if I gloss over it, because that's showing, hey, I'm human, and you might actually want to get involved in that because you're like, well, that could be kind of interesting, and especially if I've actually told you what it was. But, you know, that being human in the face of so much daily moment-to-moment suffering is really hugely important.
Sure is. And it's not just a sideline, but, you know, a real central part of the story. That's great.
Exactly.
Thanks.
Yeah. So I can't wait to find out what happens to your traffic and your business. Just realizing that who you are matters, who you are as a person. And the more you're willing to bring yourself to the table, not just your marketing message and not just the message of the solutions that your products have or your services, but really also bringing yourself to the table and sharing your humanness and your failings too. It's a huge difference.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Sure.
You know, Rhonda, I think you bring up a really important point as we listened to that about being human and bringing up our humanness into our messages, whether it's something we're writing or speaking. I think undoubtedly those speakers or writers who bring up how human they are so much more relatable than those who are, as you said, I'm holier than thou and everything's great about my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking with somebody just yesterday about the book Eat, Pray, Love, which was by Elizabeth Gilbert, and it's it was made wildly popular in part because of Oprah. But the other reason it was wildly popular and people told a friend and told a friend is because that woman wrote she wrote about how incredibly human she was, and she wrote about her emotions, thoughts, and feelings that many women feel that they shouldn't be feeling, so they would never say them out loud, and yet she did, and that's why people were reading it and saying, yes, 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 and told their friends to read it as well, because she was very, very human about her humanity, as it were. So, absolutely.
Right. One of my tweets last night on Twitter, I had dealt with my mother's husband getting his boarding pass for his flight, and I'm trying to show him how to do this, and all he is doing is turning into this mountain cat, yelling and carrying on, and I wrote, I now have a great villain for my next book. My mother's husband was a PETA when I'm trying to show him how to use the computer.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Very short story, Twitter style, you know, in what I wrote. But people can relate to that because I'm being human. I go, man, this guy, and I just basically said, this guy really ticked me off, but I kind of said it in a funny way. Another thing I could say is, man, if he were a cat, he'd have one less life, which basically means, well, I could have just killed him because he was being such a pain, you know.
Absolutely.
And as many times as I'll put an uplifting message or whatever, but, you know, still, yes, of course I do all that stuff, and I'm doing a question of the day now on Twitter. If you look up a number sign today's question mark, you'll be able to see those. So I do that kind of stuff, and I do affirmations and quotes and cool resources and links and whatever, but I'm not afraid to show I'm human, and if somebody makes me just ready to scream, I will say something like that too, because that's just an important part of being human. That sure, we're going to share great stuff, but we have to be real too.
So now here's a question. We've talked about some pretty deeply emotional stories, deeply emotional things and funny things. And when we're talking about personal growth, I think it's relatively easy to do, to share these things, because it's related to growth, getting over these tough things. Now, on the other hand, when we are, say, in a niche like Gina, you are, I think you're more about personal growth than you are about marketing. However, you are, you know, you're on the internet right now teaching, you know, hundreds, thousands of people how to build the business of their dreams, right? So it's all about business. So my question is, one of the challenges, I think it's fairly easy to write about personal growth stuff, but find it a bit more of a challenge to be personal when talking about strictly business stuff. Strictly, you know, hey, here's how you need to market, or here's a great tool that will help you, I don't know, propagate your blogs more quickly. It's harder to be funny and emotional and to tell a good story about strictly number businessy type stuff.
I don't know.
Why is that harder?
Why is that harder?
Why are you telling yourself the story that that's harder? Well, how is that serving you?
Okay, now we're on Dr. Phil. it's obviously not serving me. I'm just that I have a harder time writing about those things. I don't know. But, well, because I've spent more of my life being human than I have being businessy. That's
okay.
That way. So maybe that's it. But I find it easier to write about personal stuff than I do to write a great creative story that then somehow leads to, you know, hey, you should get this this thing that's about making money.
And I think on Gina's blog and on mine both, you have pretty constant examples of how you can take a story about, like we said before, a conversation. A typical problem that many people have in your niche, whatever your niche is, you know, and how something you or a product you have is the solution. And those kinds of things are going to serve you so well. Just like anything else, what you can do is you find a great example of how somebody tells a story the way that you need to tell it. I mean, it could be a different niche, but you do that and you model it. And this is something Gina and I both are constantly wanting to get people to understand. It's easier if you model somebody who's doing it well. So if you are having trouble with Gina's six-step formula or how do I do a story that's relevant to my niche, my product, look at Gina's blog, look at my blog, look at others who are doing this successfully, and you'll start to get the idea. And you can find those stories that you're looking for. I mean, I gave you the goldmine for those stories earlier, just saying look to the communications that come in by email, things that happen on conference calls, things that happen typically for your clients that you serve or any of those things, and you're going to have either conversations or situations that are perfect for those stories.
Exactly. It all depends on the story you're going to tell more than anything else. So you've got to tell the right story to bring that humor in or to bring in a more serious side. If you're telling a more serious story, it's going to be a more serious thing. But you can easily tell things in a way that really gets the humor into it simply by telling a more humorous story.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Gina?
Yes?
I was just going to say, don't you think that storytelling is difficult until you've told enough stories?
It is, and that's why what Bill did to me was so helpful. The fact that he made me sit across the table from him every single night and tell story after story after story until I could get that one emotion out of him. And he was being really sincere about it. I mean, he would not just play act an emotion just to play act an emotion. If I didn't cause that emotion to occur, it wasn't going to happen, period. We might be there for 4 hours at dinner, but I was going to do it until it happened. So just finding a way to do exactly that, whether you're sitting down and using your computer to record your stories, whether you're using a little handheld recorder to record your stories, whether you're telling your stories to a spouse, a significant other, a child, a best friend, getting that story and getting practice in telling that story is going to help you immensely in being able to then start writing stories. And this is why I use Copy Talk so often, because Bill taught me how to tell stories verbally. it didn't necessarily translate to writing immediately. So I started using copy talk as a way to take my stories and tell them out loud, let copy talk just transcribe them, because you can transcribe an unlimited number of things for the same price every month, $75 for unlimited translations. And they just transcribe it. Not translations, but transcriptions. They just transcribe it for you. They give it back to you in text and PDF and MP3 so that you can listen again to the recording of the story and make sure that the emotion came through in what you said as well as in how you said it. Otherwise, you can lose a little in the translation from MP3 to text. And once you've got that text version, now go back and edit in to make sure that the feeling came across. It was immensely helpful to me, and you can get it at askggg.com/copytalk. Askggg.com/copytalk. Your first 30 days are free. After that, I actually have a special offer. Anyone who gets it through that link will get it at a substantial discount. I think it's $49.95 every month instead of $74.95 every month. And until you've got enough practice telling stories out loud, don't bother trying to write them. Tell them out loud. Use copy talk to get that story out there, and then assemble that story into the things that you're trying to write, whether that's your blog posts, your emails, your products even. There's no reason why info products should not have stories. They should have stories even in your info products. Your info products will be much more effective. Your readers and your customers will get much better results. Call it a case study if you want, but it's a story. Those right. stories really help illustrate how people can take action. And I even like telling my students to take it one step further and create kind of an ongoing story where you create one or two characters that your audience can follow on an ongoing basis. So whether it's through a picture, a caricature, a cartoon, doesn't matter. Create this little character that your reader will identify with and plug that little character into blog posts, into articles, into products, and somehow allow your reader to follow that character and tell that character's story in a way that looks a little different from the main text so that your reader can graphically see, hey, this is the main part and this is that character, so that the reader can follow that character. Again, that's a story, but it's a really effective way of getting your readers to take the action that you're trying to get them to take. Just make that character take that action. Would you suggest the same kind of thing, Rhonda?
Yeah, I think that would be really, really powerful, and especially if you're introducing something new, you're going to start to see Sam, you know, from the Geometry of Success.
We've got a couple of questions in here, too, so let me see if I can get some more people unmuted. Okay, go ahead, caller from 503.
Hi, this is Lynn.
Hello, Lynn, how are you? Well, Lynn coaches author, so my goodness, I'm sure she's got some stuff to say about this.
I wouldn't miss this with two of my favorite ladies. I had to be here. I just wanted to say thank you, Rhonda, for bringing up the idea of using the hero's journey in nonfiction. I've used
Absolutely.
It for years for plotting, but never thought about using it in the nonfiction stories.
Goodness,
really,
it's even more powerful in the nonfiction stories, in my opinion.
I think there's a book in that, you know, using fictional elements in nonfiction, because where a lot of people miss the boat with nonfiction books and stuff is that you go, okay, do this activity, here's this exercise, here's these three reflection questions, and then, you know, whatever. And that doesn't engage people often enough to really get them to make a change, because they go, yeah, that would be great, and I'm really busy, and after I take care of the kids and the this and the that, but you suck them into a story, and they're going to be constantly thinking about things. So if you take an element of your nonfiction, and you can use a case study, a story, you know, a client story, whatever, and pull it in, it's
amazing. Well, right down to the idea of developing a character study. You do that for fiction. You don't do that in nonfiction typically. And my students, I tell them, you got to do it in nonfiction too.
Right.
And what better magic elixir do you have than the solutions you're providing?
Exactly. You are the magic elixir. Your solutions, your services, your products are the magic elixir that's healing people and helping people change their lives. No matter what niche you're in, that's true. If you have if your niche is race car or something or other, and you just absolutely love NASCAR stuff, well, then your elixir is the fact that you can hook people up with the coolest NASCAR thing on the planet.
And see, no matter what product you're selling, whether you're selling bathing suits, golf clubs, dog grooming supplies, whatever it is that you're selling, this is why leading off with an info product will cause you to sell more of what you've got to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can tell that story and use your info product to do it. And in telling that story in the info product, it will show your audience why they need more of all those other things you've got to sell. Right down to network marketers. If you're out there as a network marketer, don't just go out there and try and pitch your opportunity. Go out there and create an info product that will sell your product. Give really great service, use stories in the info product as well as to introduce the info product, get people to buy the product, get them to fall in love with the product and become what I call a product evangelist. Now start talking about your opportunity. You will get much bigger action takers. You will get people to love you so much they will never want to leave. You'll get rid of all the attrition in your downline. And you'll make so much more money in the end by doing it.
Right. And if you lead with opportunity, you always get the greed seekers. They just want money, and that's why with product, you always make the right choice. And leading with story pulls people in and allows them to relate to you and your product. Whether your product is network marketing or it's something else, you pull them into the story of how they can be just like this character.
Exactly. And so few people think about doing that. They think if you're selling bathing suits that you got to sell bathing suits. Well, shoot. Let's say you're selling bathing suits. Let's use that one as an example. And you create this info product, and in the info product you're going to tell six stories. You're going to tell a story about a tall woman, a short woman, a fat woman, a skinny woman, a woman with blotchy skin, a woman with an incision on her back or something like that. You're going to pick six different types of people, and you're going to tell their stories. And you're going to use those stories to show how those women overcame those challenges by picking the right bathing suits. Well, don't you think you're going to identify, your readers are going to identify with those six women depending upon which one of those situations they happen to have and want to buy more of the bathing suits that you've got to offer? Absolutely.
Yeah, of course they will. Think about it. You have a favorite show, and you probably like, I have a few TV shows, not very many, but I like NCIS, for example. Well, there's a particular character that you probably all relate to really well, or you like different ones for different reasons, but pull this into your work, into your world, and you don't, it can be real people or it can be a composite, like my character of Sam in The Geometry of Success. He isn't a specific man that I know, but he is a composite of a type of person. A lot of people are going to relate to Sam and feel just like him, even if they're a woman there could be feeling like him. And if not, they might relate to his wife, Nancy, who is at her wit's end because her husband is just not there anymore, and she loves him, and she doesn't want him to be that way. So they'll relate.
Oh, I would have called them Sam and Joe because they're both interchangeable from a sexual standpoint. Sam can be a man or a woman, and Joe can be a man or a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy's kind of got to be a woman.
Yeah, but you know, either way, they're going to relate to a character.
Yeah, I'm just teasing you, Rhonda.
Yeah, but yeah, that would be good. I could still do that, you know. But absolutely, you know, just get people to, just like you do, you have certain characters that you like or certain characters that drive you nuts or characters you love to hate or whatever it is, you know. You can still
talk about the story of Joe in so many different ways. I talk about it from a traffic generation standpoint, from a blogging perspective, from a picking your ideal prospect standpoint. This character of Joe is essentially the same story, but with lots of different reasons for telling it. It's just one story. You just modify it to fit your needs. And I'm very clear when I start telling the story that Joe isn't a real person. He's a fictitious person. But there's a reason for making the story, and it's very powerful every time I tell it.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to come up with those same kinds of stories, ones that you can alter in one small way to get a completely different message across and get your readers to start being comfortable hearing that same story in lots of different ways, and people will start asking you to tell that story.
Right. You create a little cadre of stories that you tell typically in these particular situations. And it's just like if you hear your favorite speaker, you'll hear Tony Robbins talking about firewalking. And in any of his books and any of his talks, that will probably come up somewhere. It's the same basic story. He might bring out a certain aspect, just as you're talking about Joe. And in one aspect, Joe is dealing with traffic, and another one he's dealing with keyword research or whatever else, something else, you know, but it's the same story with a different emphasis. And that's what each of you can do. When you develop certain stories that you tell typically, just like your core story, you become comfortable sharing that story.
Kevin Nations talks about his daughter putting together a puzzle at the age of 12 all
right.
the time. I don't think anybody who knows Kevin has not heard that story.
Right.
You kind of start to identify the story with the person who's telling it. And
right.
people will remember it. They will remember your story before they remember your teaching.
That is so, so true. They definitely will. They will identify with it.
Absolutely. Now, I think you do a lot of that in fiction. A lot more than you do in nonfiction, and what Rhonda and I are saying is you need to do it in both.
Yep.
But info products and creation of info products don't need to be difficult. And this is why I like using things like private label rights materials so much, because you can take a core info product with PLR rights and take your stories, add it to the PLR rights, and voila, you've got a completely brand new piece of work that's got your name on it that's very unique to you that nobody is going to identify as being private label rights because it's got those stories that you bring to the table built into it.
Sweet.
It makes it so much faster to create products over and over and over again just by taking even PLR articles and assembling them with your stories and popping out a new product.
Absolutely, that's easy. You take those stories, they can be used in this PLR thing that you're mentioning. You can take the same stories, they might be adapted, but they're the same stories, and you keep reusing them in different places. You keep weaving them into a blog post here and a social media thing there and another product, and you weave them into a workshop or a teleseminar, and you have these stories, just like we're always telling you, that you repurpose everything. You do the same thing with your stories. Don't think you use them once and they're done. You want to retell them. Just like people love the stories of their folklore, the stories grandpa told them as a kid, the stories from their religious or spiritual traditions, it's the same exact thing. You want to tell those stories over and over again. You want people to remember those stories and actually even to then start retelling them and bringing people to you and carrying your message because of the story. Without the story, there's no message to carry.
And that's really where the power comes in, is when people start retelling your stories. It's going to be kind of like the game of elephant, where they're not necessarily going to retell the story correctly when they retell it, but they're still going to retell it enough correctly that it will get those people to come to you and hear the story the right way from you. Don't be afraid that telling a story in two or three different places is going to cause people to run the opposite direction because they've heard it once before. They will hear your story over and over and over again. Some might realize that they heard it, but at the end they're going to go, oh, you know, I forgot that part. Or, oh, wow, I didn't hear that the first time I heard it. Others are going to say, wow, I never heard that before. That is awesome. And some will, some won't. Every person's going to hear it differently. But I guarantee you that the number of people that say, oh, I heard that before, I'm not going to listen now, is going to be so small. you will still get more people who are really enjoying hearing it another time and more people taking action on it another time. You can even end up getting the same people taking the same action multiple times. I have personally.
Right. And that's okay. And when people, if they say, oh, I heard it before, click, and they don't want to be involved, they're not your ideal client anyway, so let them go and don't worry about them.
You
but
got it.
If you are have ever been a part of a, you know, a religion, or you read like a Bible or a holy book of some type, I can't imagine you go, oh, I'm sorry, I read the parable of the seed once, forget about it, I don't want to ever hear it again in my life, or whatever, you know, pick something from your own tradition. You'll read those things again and look for the deeper meaning. And when you create stories that people can walk away and continue to think about because they can relate to them and they put themselves in that situation, it's like, wow, that
Rhonda,
is...
that's such a good example. I never really thought about it that way. That is a really good example.
I can't, no matter what religion you are, I can't imagine someone who's Jewish going, read the Torah once, that's it, never reading it again. That's the end of it. You know, read the story of Jesus, read something about Buddha, that's it. I read it once, that's it. They wouldn't do that. We all tell our grandpa, tell me this story again about when you did this, and whatever. It's a natural pattern among humans.
Exactly. And those are the kinds of stories that you want to create, those that people really ask you to tell over and over again.
Right.
It's not something that you're going to get right the first time. Don't expect that the first story you tell is the story you're going to tell forever.
Mm-hmm.
What should happen and what is likely to happen is you're going to tell the story one time. You're going to go, hey, you know, there was something there. Now you're going to modify it a little bit and try it again. But it's going to be a slightly different version. And you're going to keep doing that until you get it just right. And it causes a reaction in your audience. And that's when you go, got it, now I can go repeat it.
Absolutely.
So don't be afraid to do that. That's what you should be doing. That's what you want to happen. It takes a number of different tries to get that perfect story. Even crafting my core story, oh boy, I bet it took me 5-6 months to get the core pieces into it in the right order, in the right way. But when I tell my story today, it's almost exactly the same every single time I tell it.
Exactly. And you might even modify certain or highlight certain bits for a certain audience, but it's essentially the same story. In one point, if you're talking to women, you might, you know, just highlight certain things. If you're talking to a marketing group, you might highlight a slightly different place. But it's still the story. The nice thing is it becomes a real comfort to go, yeah, you know what, I have this story, and I know how to tell it, because once you get it down, you have got it. And you could be half asleep, and somebody could say, tell me your core story, and you're like, no coffee yet, half asleep, and you could still spit it out. Powerful.
Absolutely. But it didn't happen that way the first time you told it.
I doubt it. Yeah, I doubt it for anybody.
Like several times of going through to figure out which were the really important pieces, which were the ones that really got that emotion through in the right way, caused the action to be taken the way that you wanted it, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really powerful. People love stories. I personally believe that we're genetically keyed to love stories because it's so much a part of every single culture. No matter what kind of contact they've had with what kind of people, we all love to have the good stories repeated. We all need to be reminded of certain things. We all love quotes. I mean, haven't you ever heard a quote before, a really great quote? And like, well, you hear it one day, the same quote you've probably read 100 times, and you go, that's right for me, right to the heart today. That just got me.
Well, you know, if we didn't all love stories, we wouldn't see projects like there's a group out called Stories USA. That is the neatest thing. What they do is pretty darned cool. They have a series of Airstream travel trailers that they take around the country, and they go from city to city. They pre-advertise the fact that they're coming into a city for a week. And when they get there, they invite people from that city to come into the trailer. The trailers are all set up as recording studios. And they get people to come in to just tell their story. And what they're doing is creating a repository of stories from people all over the U.S., and they are eventually going to expand to other countries. For those who can't get to one of these trailers, you can call them, put down a deposit so that they can send you the equipment. They will send you the equipment and allow you to record your story. You send it back to them, and they'll give you your deposit back. And the only charge that they have for this is if you want a copy of your recording on CD or DVD, depending upon whether you did audio or video. But they're really doing it to create a repository of amazing stories from all over the place. The story of Uncle Tom, who was in the Korean War, and what happened to him when he was in the Korean War. Or the story of this amazing guy who settled this entire town. They want those kinds of stories, and they want to hear all the folklore that, without this project, is likely to just be lost for generations to come. They want to record our history. We wouldn't have those kinds of projects if people didn't like stories.
Exactly. And it's so powerful. This is why people feel that have been through something really tough, telling your story is a part of your healing. It's an essential part of your healing. No matter what tough thing you've been through, whether it's abuse or it's a rape or a sickness or cancer or anything, you know, coming up through a hurricane, any of that, people just have this need to tell their story of what happened, how they came through it, how they managed it. In dealing with people who are caregivers, it's a really powerful, people need to tell the story of what it was like to take care of their spouse or mother or whatever, and all these things that happened and what it was like. They need to tell those stories. It's an absolute, I believe, a genetic need that we have, not only to hear them, but to tell them and to use the stories to heal ourselves and to grow and to change and to make our life what we want it to be.
I'm being told in the chat that our audio is really bad, and I'm not sure why.
Really?
If somebody who's in the chat could put in another message and tell me whether it's cleared up any, I would really appreciate it. And if any of you who are in chat have questions, feel free to ask them in chat, and I'll just read them on the air so that we can make sure we get all the questions answered. It sounds pretty good to me, so I wonder if it's just those listening on the computer that are having the issue with the audio, which is quite possible.
That is always possible.
That's
possible. I don't know. I'm so sorry that's the case, because I think this is such a phenomenal call. It would make a great product.
I definitely agree. And for those who are having audio issues, I know that at the end of this call, it's all being recorded. Yay! You should be able to go back to fggg.com/radio. And get to the player that's right on the Blog Talk Radio page to re-listen to this recording if you haven't been able to hear it until now.
Well,
so
I hope
hopefully we don't have too many. Yeah, I do
too. I hope the quality is great. On the phone, it's been fine. I haven't had any issue at all.
Right.
Good.
Yeah, that's that. So we're glad we're getting it recorded.
Good, good, good. Well, Blog Talk Radio just changed their platform at the beginning of this year, and I've been told by others calling in on the computer that we've had some quality issues, so I hope they get it worked out.
Yep.
Jennifer, did you make it back in?
Did Jennifer get back in? Cause she sure
yes,
did.
You did get back in.
Thanks, yeah. I had technical issues, but I'm back.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, any other questions for Ms. Rhonda, Jennifer?
Not questions, just so much as I really enjoy this topic because I think more than anything, I'm a person who loves connecting with people emotionally and personally and anybody who's an expert or who also enjoys connecting to people for the better good of everybody is somebody that I enjoy learning from. So this is a great topic. Really, really.
I want Rhonda to touch on one more thing before we finish up here, and that is with all of this Web 2.0 stuff, we've already talked a little bit about blogs and emails. What else can you do to tell stories on the other Web 2.0 sites that are out there, things like Squidoo and social networks and whatnot? How else do you use stories in those sites?
Well,
There are lots of ways. One is to have a short version of your About Me story or your short version of your core story in writing, and you will pop that same story up all over the place, every single network that you're on your blog, everywhere. I have it in the right column of my blog. It's about the story lady down at the bottom right column. So that's one way. You can tell stories, even on Twitter, very quickly. You can tell a story and lead them to something, a link or to even just telling something about you or whatever. But you obviously you have to be very short in that format. But in a few words, when you get used to it, you can get a lot of content across very quickly. Connect with people and mention what it is about them that interests you or share something that would be of value. Oh, since I see that you love such and so, and you can lead up to a story that might be in the blog post or even something that you tell in two sentences can be a story that you might leave on a comment or on somebody's profile, on their wall, on Facebook, or whatever, where you can make your stories very public when you leave them as comments and wall posts and things like that.
Absolutely, and I like having your core story out in your about section. Like on Squidoo, there's always the lens owner's bio. Your core story should be a part of that.
That's
right.
You can
create pages in your account in Facebook, and you should have one that is your core story, as well as one that's a story for each one of your products. Every one of your products should have its own story. Whether that's a story of how the product came about, whether that's a story that illustrates the problem that that product can solve, whatever. And to create those pages, I don't know of any easy way to tell you to do it other than to go to facebook.com/business, where you'll see on the right-hand side pages, and you can go create a page from there in Facebook. Mm-hmm. Even in some of the other social networking sites like Ning, there are a lot of different places that you can get both your core story and even stories that illustrate problems that your products can solve. Even in forums, to tell you the truth,
absolutely.
If you go out and look for forums where people are asking questions about the problems your products solve, well, go tell some stories in forums. If
Yahoo Answers?
People, oh, good one, Rhonda. Yahoo Answers.
Mm-hmm.
Good one. Answers.com. Wikipedia. Anybody can go edit a wiki. Anybody in Wikipedia. And, you know, good tip. Go Google your main keywords. Chances are the front page is going to be comprised of things like Wikipedia, about.com, e-zine articles. Take those core things, the things that you're able to go and edit in some way or add to it via a comment and go tell a story in them that can get people to come back to your site. You might not be able to jump over Wikipedia in the search engines, but that's okay. Go be part of Wikipedia and then get into the search engine.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be really powerful. Would it be all right for me to share a link for a CD that people might get?
Sure. That would be great.
I have a CD that's called The 7 Deadly Sins of Storytelling and How to Avoid Them. And it will truly teach serving storytelling. It's at profitablestorytelling.com/storytellingCD. That's
too easy.
profitablestorytelling.com/storytellingCD. And it'll cost you less than $10 with shipping to bring that CD home for you. I'm not doing that as a huge moneymaker, but to help you really create powerful stories and avoid the things that'll take you off of the good road. So
so that's profitablestorytelling.com/storytellingCD.
That's
and
it.
Tomorrow I'm actually going to be a guest on Rhonda's radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where we'll be talking about empowering stories, and Rhonda will be interviewing me about my story. So if you want to see a great example of storytelling, join us tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern. And Rhonda, how do they get there?
That's at blogtalkradio.com/empoweringstories. And if my web browser didn't just crash, I would have written it in the chat for you. But It's Empowering Stories is the channel on Blog Talk Radio, and I look forward to having all of you there. And this, I can't believe how fast the time goes, Gina. This is just nuts.
It sure does, doesn't it? Really
fast.
And we will be back here on Blog Talk Radio for Relationship Marketing 101 next Tuesday at noon Eastern. I hope you will all join us both tomorrow at 3 for Rhonda's Empowering Story Show, and again next week for Relationship Marketing 101 here at fggg.com/radio. Thank you again, Rhonda. Thanks, everyone, for being here today. Go tell some stories.
Thank you so much, Gina, and everybody. Love you lots. Take care now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.